Yes, amen. I was in Miri last weekend with our church there, and I wanted to show you a little photo. They were so cute, you know. They wanted to make me feel at home, so they actually put the backdrop of, I mean, this is our Cornerstone Orchard classic wallpaper, right? So they put this, you know, at the back for me, and I said, so cute, lah. Our LED screen not as big as this one, lah. Anyways, yeah, okay, that's our LED screen, okay? So I said, very, very cute. Okay, anyways, this morning I want to be speaking on the topic of desensitization, the danger of getting used to it. A few months back, the Lord said this to me, Sabi, I want you not to be desensitized with what's happening around the world. There is a process of desensitization that's happening around us. Now, let me first define what desensitization is. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, it says that it is the process of causing someone to experience something, usually an emotion, less strongly than before. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it this way: to make one emotionally insensitive or callous. Now, the word callous means to be hardened. You no longer feel the way you feel anymore. So essentially, desensitization is the gradual process of making someone numb and dull to what's happening around us. That's what desensitization means. Now, for example, in military training, what they do is that they try to desensitize soldiers to pain, eventually even numbing soldiers to death itself. It desensitizes them. Now, or some video games today are desensitizing our next generation of young people to their perspective of violence and gore. So we cannot be ignorant, church. There is a process of desensitization that is happening all around us. I want to give you a visual illustration. I don't know if you've watched the movie The Dark Knight or Joker. Now, but in 1960s, Joker looked like this. Now, he has this purple suit on. He looks comical, almost friendly. He doesn't look like he's a cynical clown who's out there for evil. Okay, that's the 1960s Joker. Desensitization looks like this. 1990s, this is what Joker looks like. Now, he looks a bit more sinister, right? He looks, he's got something cheeky, something mischievous up his sleeves. Okay, that's the 1990s Joker. Of course, today, our modern-day Joker looks like that. He's this schizophrenic, psychopathic, mass murderer who's obviously out there for evil. Now, this is how desensitization looks like. A whole generation, a whole world is being desensitized to darkness, to evil, to sin. And we cannot have our heads in the grounds, not aware of what the enemy's schemes are. Somebody say amen. And this is really not a new thing. Because when I think about the process of desensitization, I remember Daniel and his three friends. Remember them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, these were Jewish young boys. But their names, these names are not even their real names, by the way. They were Babylonian names. These Jewish boys were given names of Babylonian gods. Why? I reckon it was because it was a way the Babylonians had sought to desensitize them to their culture. Look at what the names mean. The name Shadrach means the command of the moon god. The name Meshach means who is Aku. You can also say Aku Siapa. Abednego means slave of the god Nebo. What terrible names as compared to their original Jewish names. Their names were these in Jewish. Hananiah, which means God is gracious. Mishael, who is God Jehovah. Azariah meant God has helped. And this life story really depicts for us what it means to be in the world but not of the world. Somebody say amen. Because although they were now officials in the Babylonian society, they had retained their loyalty to God. In fact, they did not do what King Nebuchadnezzar wanted them to do, to bow down to a golden statue. They said, long live the king, but even if you throw us into the furnace of fire, we will not bow our knees. Daniel, on the other hand, was given a king's delicacy, which he rejected. So don't be deceived. There is a process of desensitization that is happening all around our world today. Now, I don't have time to elaborate every point for you, but I do want to cite a few examples. Firstly, number one, I think there is a desensitization towards the ways of God. There is a desensitization towards the supernatural move of God. In much of our Christianity today, we have become so cerebral, so logical, so intellectual that we have lost the supernatural gist of our faith. For example, when people are sick, our first response often is this: have you gone to see the doctor? Have you, you know, popping Panadol pills? Have you taken some sort of medication? Now, I've got nothing against pharmacies, hospitals, clinics, and medication. In fact, I think there's wisdom in seeking for professional and medical advices and help. But the Bible exhorts us in this way. Look at this. James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone sick among you? What do we do? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Come on. When people were sick before, we would say, hey, come to church, we'll pray for you and you'll be healed. Oh, hey, we'll come over to your house. If you can't come out of your house, we'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray over the sick. But today, I think especially since the COVID pandemic, you know, we've become so desensitized to the ways, to the supernatural healings of God, that when people are sick, we tell them, hey, don't come to church. Stay away from me. Don't come near me. Wear your mask, right? I think we've been desensitized to the supernatural demonstration of God. And I pray that Cornerstone Orchard will be a house of miracles. That this will be a house of Gilead, a house of healing. Somebody say amen. That the sick will come and they will find their healing in this place. Amen. They will come and find their freedom and their deliverance, that our doors will never be shut to the sick and the broken. We cannot be desensitized to the ways of God. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Let your good works glorify. Man will see the good works you've done and glorify the Father in heaven. You know, the word good works here is not charitable deeds. The word good works here is not random acts of kindness that we do. That's all important, but let's not water down the Bible. The word good works here, that men will see your good works and they will glorify our Father in heaven. The word good works here in the Greek original text of the Bible is the word ergon. Everybody say ergon. E-R-G-O-N. And the word ergon means this: the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers cleansed, the dead raised. That's what it means. That man will see, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers cleansed, the dead raised, and they will glorify our Father in heaven. We need the supernatural demonstration of the power of the kingdom of God restored back to the people of God. Now, I'm not saying to be foolish, go around and share food if you're sick, or to be socially irresponsible and not wear a mask if you're not well. But I am saying this, church, we must not become desensitized to the supernatural ways of God, such as with healings and with the working of miracles. I think there's also a desensitization, especially in this media age, to the assembling of the saints of God. So well done, you're in church today. Give your neighbor a pat and say, well done. Praise the Lord. Do not neglect the assembling, the physical assembling of the saints. Don't become too comfortable and allow yourselves to be desensitized to online streaming of services and meetings in the comfort and the convenience of our homes in our pajamas. Come on. I mean, we thank God for virtual platforms and these online gatherings, but these things cannot and they will never be able to replace the physical assembling of the saints of God. Something happens when the people of God come together like this. The gathering of God. Don't get desensitized because the enemy is seeking to isolate you away from real community. Hebrews chapter 10 says it this way in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day, the great day approaching. Amen. So don't become desensitized to the ways of God. We've got to stir ourselves up like never before. Desensitization simply means that nothing affects you anymore. You can watch something on TV, watch a Korean drama, get all excited and cry over it. But then we come to church, we sing songs about Calvary. We sing songs about the cross of Jesus Christ. We sing songs like, yet not I, but through Christ in me. And it doesn't move us anymore. That's desensitization. Don't be desensitized, people of God. The second area I think there is a desensitization that's happening in the world is a desensitization to bad news. I mean, we read the newspapers, we read articles, we watch the news online. We are bombarded with bad news every day. What's our response, church? What's our reaction when we read these bad news happening in the world? Do we have a can't care less attitude? Because, well, it doesn't concern us, what? It doesn't touch me directly. We have a can't care less attitude. Listen, that's not the way of Christianity. That's not the way to our faith. We must not become desensitized to bad news. We must not keep silent when it's time to speak out. For what is righteousness? For what is truth? Because we became numb, because we became desensitized to these things. How do we respond to violence in our schools with our next generation of youth and children? How do we respond to poverty, hunger pangs? How do we respond to anti-Semitism? How do we respond to wars and rumors of wars? Don't get too numb. Don't become dull to these things happening around us. And please, the last thing we ever want to do is add fire to what is already bad news. Come on. We don't slam the government with hate speeches. We don't magnify situations and give our negative opinions to what's already bad news. We don't react hate with hate. You understand? We don't react violence with violence. We ought to be responding on our knees, people of God, in intercession and in prayer. With tears, with travail, with compassion in our hearts. Praying the reality of God's will, of God's agenda, of heaven touching earth. Touching our situations, touching our nations. Amen. So don't become desensitized to bad news. I mean, you know, I subscribe to news apps and I find myself sometimes to be scrolling, reading one bad news to the next, one bad news to the next. And I realize, man, I'm not even touched anymore. Where I used to respond in prayer, in crying, in intercession, I just find myself to be scrolling. And so this really convicted me as I prepared this message. The Lord said to me, Sabi, don't become desensitized. Every time you read something bad that's happening in the world, it's a response to prayer. It's a response. It's a call to intercede. Because the solution, the answers of the world doesn't lie with politics. I'm sorry. It lies in the ecclesia. It lies in the church of Jesus Christ. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. God has given us keys of his kingdom. Amen. To open doors that can never be shut again and to shut doors that can never be opened again. We've got to take this seriously, church. The next area I think we're being desensitized to is towards gender and sexuality. I mean, the most influential media today, media of every platform is introducing LGBTQ characters in your face. It's no longer hidden. It's no longer subliminal. You have queer queens singing the jingles in children's programs. When we had explicit sexual or perverse content being screened in the cinemas, I mean, I don't know about you, but we would leave the cinema. I mean, my friends and I, we made a stand. Every time there's something perverse, evil, sexual, you know, we just walk out of the cinemas. Today, we don't even flinch. There is a desensitization that's happening. People don't even flinch when such explicit perversion are being screened. Mind you, not in the cinemas, in the TVs, from the TVs of our own homes. from our iPads, from our iPhones. That's desensitization. Essentially, it is saying, it's not that bad, what? It's not that bad to what God deems evil and perverse. The thing that used to bother us no longer bother us anymore. Then we have allowed ourselves to go into this process of desensitization. And that is what it means, the Bible says, to have our conscience seared. That's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, are we not living in the latter days? We are, you better believe it. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, such as a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, I don't know if you have been burnt before, but if you press a hot iron against your skin, don't do that. What happens is that it ruins, it damages your nerves. And in the recovery period, your skin hardens such that when you touch it, actually you can't feel anything anymore. It's numb. It's numb. Well, I've never been seared by a hot iron before physically, but I have cut my, sliced my the skin of my thumb before, trying to open a parcel. It was so hard to open. And so I used a penknife and then I tried to open the parcel. I missed it, sliced my thumb. And it went through my nerve. And so I have a scar here today. And if you come and you poke your fingernail into this scar, I can't feel anything. It's numb. It's been, you know, it's become numb. It's insensitive now. And that's what it means to have your conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, people look for loopholes in scriptures to support their addictions and their lifestyles instead of looking in the scriptures to help us in our deliverance and our freedom. And listen, today's tolerance becomes tomorrow's captivity. What we tolerate today becomes our children's generation's norm and bondage. We cannot allow ourselves, church, to be desensitized. Is there a generation, I wonder, who will stand for truth? Who will not bow down to idols like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Is there a people who will say, I refuse to entertain myself with the things my God went to the cross for? We must love truth. There must be truth in our lives. When you lose your appetite for truth, you start your journey downwards towards desensitization. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. The Bible says the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Everybody say deception. Among those who perish, because why? They did not receive the love for truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, what reason? Because the people did not love truth, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. That's a really weighty scripture right there. You know what deception is? Deception is the act of misleading or tricking someone by intentionally misrepresenting the truth to cause them to believe something false. The truth is this, that the devil is not gonna come to you with a pitchfork in his hand, you know, and a red jumper. He's gonna say, hello, I'm the devil. I'm here to lie to you. He's not gonna do that. You can tell a lie from what's true. That's easy to detect. But the devil is scheming. He is deceptive. He's gonna come instead with a Bible in his hand. And he's gonna give you half-truths. He's going to come and say, did God really say? Did God really say you can't do that? Did God really say? There's some truth in it, but there's a whole mixture of lies in it. That's why deception is something that we've got to watch out for as the people of God. Amen? Now, look, I'm not slamming people who have real struggles with identity, with same-sex attractions. Listen, this is a temptation that you can overcome by the power and the grace of God and with self-control. I've counseled people who have said to me, I was born this way. Pastor, I was born this way. I tell them, look, every straight man can also say, I was born this way. I was born straight. And hence, I have this attraction towards beautiful women. Does that give a straight man the license to go sleep around and have sexual relationships with every woman he lays his eyes on? The answer is no. And so just because you think that you're born this way with same-sex attraction does not give us the license to live like that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is applied in both contexts of situations. It's called self-control. It's called temperance. By the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can live above temptations. Amen? And that's the beauty of the grace of God. It is not a license to sin, but the grace of God is what enables us, is what empowers us to live above sin and these carnal ways of life. The only gender norm is that of how God has created human beings, man and a woman. God created Adam and Eve. He didn't create Adam and Steve. If you're confused as to what sexuality and gender you are, go have yourselves checked. If you have a womb, that means you are a woman. So let's not be desensitized to what's happening around us with gender and with sexual norms. Now, there's another area I want to talk about, desensitization to sin and to evil. I think we're living in the prophecy of Isaiah. In chapter 5, the prophet Isaiah prophesied this, 20 to 23. What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. What sorrow for those who are heroes and drinking wine and boast about all the alcohol they can hold. They take bribes to let the wicked go free and they punish the innocent. Isaiah's prophecy is being fulfilled in our days. Every single verse of this is a true depiction of what's happening in our world today, in our culture today. Lies and perversion are being celebrated while truth and righteousness are being scorned at and persecuted. Listen, church, learn this and learn this well. You will either offend the world and please God, or you can please the world and offend God. Choose ye this day which side you're on. If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, then serve Baal. That's what Elijah the prophet said to the people in his times. A line has been drawn in the sand. There is no sitting on the fence anymore. We cannot be lukewarm anymore. Either be hot or be cold. Don't become a people's champion. Be God's champion. You know who was a people's champion in the Bible? Saul. Look how he ended his life. Look where it landed him. David, on the other hand, was God's champion. And he became one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. We're living in the last days. You better believe it. Choose the side you are on. Matthew chapter 24. I want to just read this passage and come to a landing. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. In the last days, deception. Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. and many will be offended. They will betray one another and they will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and again, you've got there, deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, there is desensitization that's happening right now. The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Let me draw out a few of these scriptures to say a little bit more. Now in verses 4 and 5, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and will deceive, will lead astray many in the faith. The word many here is the Greek word polus. Polus depicts multitudes. Multitudes. And so you could potentially put that word in the scripture and say, multitudes will come in my name and deceive many. Listen, just because people put scriptures to it doesn't mean God ordained it. Doesn't mean that God approved it. And I have just the antidote for all of us to combat deception in these last days towards the end of my message. But look at verse 10. Many will be offended. They will betray one another. They will hate one another. And this is something that I think we need to watch out for in Cornerstone. Let's not be offended with one another. Let's not, you know, have this offense. Amen. Offense is going to be a real thing. I'm telling you, it's going to be real in the last days. Some of us are even offended with God. Because we haven't seen him come through in the ways that we thought he would come through. Don't be offended with God. Don't be offended with one another. If you are, come to the Lord humbly and work it out with him. Amen. He's not scared of your questions. Have a conversation with the Lord. Say, God, I've been offended with you because of this, that. And let the Lord begin to deal with these little foxes in our hearts. Because bitterness and offenses will eat us up on the inside. Essentially, at the end of the day, we are our own prisoners. When it comes to bitterness, when it comes to hatred, when it comes to offenses. I love what Bill Johnson said. He said this before, that God often offends our minds to expose what is in our hearts. And so some of us, we get offended in our minds with our religion, you know, the religious spirit. And God does that because he wants to expose eventually what's actually inside of us, what's in our hearts. I move on, verse 11. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. False prophets. Many people today have a word, but they haven't actually even heard from God. You know, there are a lot of exposing today of prophetic ministries, of prophets, well-known, renowned prophets that maybe many of us have followed. Listen, I believe in prophecies, but we need to come back to the sure word of prophecy. That's your Bibles. Prophecies from people are just a confirmation of what God has already spoken to you. It's just a confirmation of what you have already read in the Bible and God had already spoken to you about. That's essentially what prophecy is. Let's come back to the sure word of prophecy. Verse 12, it says, because of lawlessness that will abound, the love of many will grow cold. The King James Version says it this way, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, the phrase here, wax cold, means hard, numb, non-responsive, callous, stubborn. And in these last days, people of God, we don't need stubborn hearts. We need tender hearts before the Lord. We need loyal hearts, amen? Loyal to Jesus Christ, loyal to the Lamb who was slain for us from the beginning of the world. And so my charge, my exhortation, and my encouragement to all of us this morning is this, let us not be dull in spirit, that is desensitization, but let's all be sharp in the Spirit of God, that is discernment. We need to ask God for the gift of discernment, for the spirit of discernment in these days, to be able to sniff out deception, to be able to sniff out lies. Now, mind you, I said the gift of discernment. I didn't say the gift of suspicion. I'm not saying let's be all suspicious people all the time. Oh, that's sus. This is sus, you know.
No, I don't want us to be suspicious. I don't want us to be a suspicious bunch of people. I'm saying ask God for the gift of discernment. How do we discern rightly? How do we discern rightly? It's the Word of God. We've got to know the original. Then you can tell the counterfeit. I used to work part-time as a student, as a bank teller. They paid very well. $10 per hour last time, lah. You know, and every day, you know, in training in the bank, they don't hand out counterfeit fake notes, right? They don't say, everybody pass this fake note around and touch it, smell it, you know, this is how a fake note feels like, smells like. No, we had none of those training. Anyways, one time, one incident, this guy came in with a whole plastic bag of cash. And so it was too much to count. I took the whole bunch of stash of cash and I put it on the counting machine. And every time it counts, it stops. Then I take it again, I arrange the money and I put it on the counting machine again. It stops. It kept stopping at one particular bill. I took out that bill, I looked at it, I felt it, I immediately knew something is off. This feels too smooth. It just feels off. I brought the bill back to the office and I said, ma'am, I think this is a counterfeit note. She did an examination on it, you know, put it under the ray of light and she said, you're right, it's a counterfeit note. And then the report was written. I was so proud of myself. I mean, the machine did the job, but I was still very proud of myself. I'm like, wow, I could tell a fake note. And the only reason why I could tell the fake note was because every day I'm touching the real. Every day I'm counting the original. Ta 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 1,000. You know, ta 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 1,000. I'm touching the real notes every day. That when I touch that fake one, I knew this is too smooth. This is not right. This is off. And how are we going to discern truth in these last days? You better know truth. You better know the original sure word of prophecy, the word of God. Amen. There is no other way around this. I'm sorry. The way we grow in our discernment is to read your Bibles, know the word of God, and pray in the Spirit of God. Come on. That is in the armor of God. That is what? Your sword and your shield. It's what protects you and causes you to go on offense. The shield of faith, which is, it quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. That's the Holy Spirit. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's your only offensive weapon. You better know and learn how to use it. You can't use it if you don't know it. In the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins, they had the lamp and the oil. The oil is the Holy Spirit, the oil of the Spirit of God. The lamp is the Word. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet. This is how we're going to battle deception in these last days, my friends. Know truth, and the truth will set you free. Know truth and pray in the Spirit of God. There's no other way around this. Hide the Word of God in your hearts like David did. He says, why? So that I will not sin against you. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Can I get the worship team as I close? The Bible says this, behold, the days are coming. And I tell you what, we're already living in those days, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I want to give you a parallel scripture of this Old Testament scripture to a New Testament. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Why? Because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, Cornerstone, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. And this time has come. People don't want to hear about holiness anymore. They want to hear about blessings and prosperity. They don't want to hear about sanctification and consecration. People now want to hear about inclusion. Read the whole Bible. We need the full counsel of the Word of God and pray in the Spirit. Now, I get that praying in the Spirit may not always feel like revival all the time. It may not give you the goosebumps that you want to feel. But I tell you what, praying in the Spirit helps you become sensitive, discerning to the Holy Spirit's move, to the prompting of God. Don't become desensitized. I close with a quote by John Hagee. He said it this way: have we as a society become radically desensitized to the violence and the depravity that is flooding from movie screens and television studios? It is not that we have become more broad-minded and intellectual. It is that we have adapted to the demonic and we have become comfortable in the presence of evil. That's desensitization. And I pray over Cornerstone that we will not be a people desensitized, but we will be a people full of discernment. A people who love truth, amen? That truth will prevail in this house. You know, essentially, at the end of the day, what's truth? Isn't Jesus Christ truth? Did he not say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father except through him. We've got to know Christ, Christ magnified. I believe there is a revelation of Jesus that he wants to reveal us like we've never known before. Pastor Young talked about a progressive revelation. There is truly progressive revelation. Pastor Daphne talked about this morning, who do men say that I am? Jesus went around, who do men say, who do people say that I am? The disciples answered, some said you're a prophet, Elijah, like John the Baptist. Some say you're a rabbi. And then he switches the question and he says to them, now who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Not who Pastor Sabby says I am. Not who Pastor Daphne says I am. Not who Pastor Young says I am, but who do you say that I am? I believe there is a greater manifestation of Christ. There is a progressive revelation of Christ that he wants to reveal in our lives this year. We must lay hold of him and of the things of his kingdom. Amen. We must love truth. Stand with me as we come to a close. Hallelujah. If you can pray in tongues, just lift up your voices across this hall. Let's just take 1 minute or so. Let's all just pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Know the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Know the Word. Pray in the Spirit. Know the Word. Pray in the Spirit. That's how we grow in our discernment. Hallelujah. Shata raba so terianda la moshanda la mande. Kera shanda yala bo sebre te keita yala mo sura ta yala mande. Oh, nahia ilakata yala mo shebro toko ta yala mando. Mete ye viona mo shanda la maro yala ma sebre te yala mando. When we pray in tongues, when we pray in the Spirit, what happens is that our spirit is connecting with the Spirit of God. We get downloads. He deposits things of his kingdom to us. We hear the voice of God. Sharaba sandala mando robo shandiye. Come on, tap into the Spirit today. Tap into the Spirit of God. Shebrete yalamando. Oh, nayando robo shanda raba se. Kiaraba shanda lama sobrete yalamo kubro tolo yonde. Ey, nakaye lamo shabro toyole yanda lama samon yalamande. Ebrete kataya ina moshama da ya ya la mondi elvio e kusibro ti ai le moshebra ta ya la mando e kubro te ya me kai la mosheba ko maranda ai ya la kura sandi ai la mosha da la mande. Oh, give us a love for truth, Lord. Give us a love for truth. Give us a love for truth. God, touch us, Lord. Give us an appetite for truth in these last days, God. That we may stand against the wiles of the enemy. We may stand against his deceptive schemes. Shatayala mo soterianda la mando. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Can we, in the next minute or so, just say, God, give me a love for truth. Come on, you pray over your own hearts. You pray over your own lives this morning. Say, God, I want a love for truth. In these days of deception, in these days of desensitization, in these days where opinions of people and perspectives of people, it's everywhere. It's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's on the news, it's everywhere. God, give me a love for truth. Give me a love for truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. A greater revelation of truth this year. A greater revelation of truth this year. As we tap into the Word, the sure word of prophecy back to the original, the Bible. God, would you open up scriptures to us? As you open up scriptures to your disciples on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts started to burn within them, they turned to one another and they said, did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn? And that's what truth does to our hearts. That's what scriptures does. It burns in our hearts as Jesus is revealed. As the Rhema is spoken through the Logos, it burns in our hearts. Oh Lord, I pray for a greater appetite for truth in this generation, God. In Jesus' name.
Just listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.